Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
It is the day the earth stood still, my friends. No, I'm not talking about what Kate Brown and what's happening in the world about coronavirus. No, I'm talking about Tom Brady. He is not going back to the Patriots. He just announced that moments ago. Tom, that's a mistake. You know, you should have finished your career with the team that you have enjoyed all of this success. You don't need the money. I don't get it. But really, we're not going to talk about that. We are going to talk about Kate Brown and the implications of her policy here in Oregon and what that means for us, what it means for our communities, what it means for you, maybe. And I want to ask you a question. I'm going to wax a little bit conspiratorial here. What if this coronavirus thing was produced in a lab that added in proteins and markers for HIV and SARS? Which is what might make it so deadly, apparently. What if that was done by someone on purpose? What if it's been done before? How would you feel if that were brought to light? If it were actually verified? Such are the rantings of a guy who wrote a letter to the White House about all of this. And it's an interesting letter. And I will try to put it up on the web. I'm not sure how I can attach a PDF to the show plan that I will, and I'll try, okay, to put it up on the podcast. I know I've got to get up to date on that, and I will, I promise you. But what if this letter by this Harvard-trained guy by the name of Leonard G. Horowitz, who is the editor of medicalveritas.org, and he sent this letter on February the 10th to the director of President Trump's Office of Science and Technology Policy and Chad Wolf, Acting Secretary of Homeland Security, in which he alleges that this was created in a lab and that has been verified in research by other well-known researchers, and that it has the AIDS envelope gene attached to it, as well as the, quote, middle fragment, unquote, encoding a SARS spike protein, whatever the heck all this means, both appearing to have been inserted into 2019-nCoV, which is COVID-19, coronavirus, and that it is a bioweapon, and that the media is covering it up. Okay. Now, what if this is a conspiracy? Who would benefit from this? Who did it? Was it the Chinese? Now, the guy who wrote this letter is a Harvard-trained expert in emerging diseases. He's well-educated. Let's just put it that way, folks. He's testified before lots of legislative bodies, written a book called Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola. You can find it. He's gotten lots of awards for his books and films in these fields. This letter is quite long, and it is quite detailed. He is a DMD, DMD, MA, MPH, DEN, DMM, both honorable degrees. He's got lots of degrees. Now, I tried to research this guy a little bit, and there's not a lot out there, other than that he's one of these guys who has been put down by the pro-immunization crowd. Okay, that ought to be your first red flag. Not against him, but against other people. In this letter, he alleges 5 points. And number one is that it was created in the lab as a bioweapon. And he says that there is published science issued by 9 honorable experts led by Prashant Pradhan, the chief technical officer for IBM in Asia. He goes on to write that Pradhan's team used the Watson computer to analyze genetic similarities in the coronavirus and other pathogens. Unmistakably, it contains a smoking gun, the AIDS virus envelope gene. Okay. And then he says the discovery of the weaponizing with HIV's attachment mechanism is compounded with the finding by evolutionary biologist Dr. James Lyons Weiler of the Institute for Pure and Applied Knowledge. I hope I'm not losing you, folks. But he says Dr. Lyons showed that coronavirus genetic sequence contains a unique middle fragment encoding for a SARS protein inserted to presumably increase, listen to this, increase respiratory distress using what's called P-shuttle technology, used exclusively in labs, not in nature. And he goes on to lay out the fact that China has a BSL for bioweapons lab within 20 miles of Wuhan seafood market, where apparently this whole thing started. But he says it may not have been produced in this Chinese lab, bioweapon warfare. But he says it could be one of several deep state suspect labs, such as Johns Hopkins University, Harvard, NYU, the CDC, the Pasteur Institute, or by coronavirus vaccine makers. So what he does is he lays out a conspiracy here that this could be something that is meant to derail and hurt Donald Trump by deep staters. And then who would benefit from that? Well, certainly the deep state, but what about Big Pharma? Now, this guy hates Big Pharma, okay? And, you know, he goes on in this letter to talk about them, and he's urging, you know, basically a massive investigation. Well, that's like, you know, asking the fox to guard the hen house, right? I mean, it's you're asking the deep state to investigate itself. Good luck with that. But what if this has happened? And has it happened before? And who did that benefit? Bioterrorism. He's written about it. He's an expert in the field. What would you think if that were in fact true? How would you think should be dealt with this? Now, whether it is true or not, we still have to deal with the consequences of coronavirus, don't we? How do we deal with that? Now, Kate Brown came out yesterday. I was out in the field working. Now, see, my life has not finished because I am a fifth-generation Oregon farmer. Yeah, I'm still involved in politics. I got a political meeting tonight that was, is dealing with the recall of Republican State Senator Chuck Thompson. And this is all of the fallout from what's been going on in the Oregon legislature. But it was going to be at a restaurant. Well, that's all been canceled now. Okay? It's all been canceled. Now, we're going to get takeout. We're still going to get together. But I was listening yesterday. But my point is that life goes on, doesn't it? How are you dealing with this? And Ron, call back in because I want you to weigh in on this stuff. How are you going to deal with this at your place of work? How are you going to deal with, obviously, all of the church meetings, everything? I mean, you know, we're going to have church, but it's going to be online, folks. I mean, we broadcast church online anyway, but nobody's going to be there except the praise and worship team and the pastor and maybe a few people to pray, because you can't have, according to Kate, more than 25 people. Now, the first question, again, is who's going to enforce this? Well, if you're people of faith, you believe that you should, you know, do what God says, abide by his rules, so you probably ought to abide by Kate's rules. Queen Kate. Now, Kate's not God. She thinks she is, but that's a different story. Anyway, no more. I was listening to this as I was out killing mice. Yes, it's one of the things that we grass seed farmers have to do. So I was out killing mice. And I'm listening to Kate talk about no more than 25 people in Oregon. 25 people could get together in a meeting in Oregon for at least 4 weeks. Now, the fallout from this is going to be massive in terms of how it's going to impact us economically. And already there are suggestions. I saw this by Bill Post and others on Twitter that, well, Kate, maybe we ought to come back. And Kate says we're going to go to a special session at some point here to deal with this. Kate says that the legislature is going to have to appropriate some more money. Well, Kate, you know, what's happening now, according to Bill Post, is that the Oregon Department of Revenue is already saying they're not going to have as much money coming as they thought they were going to have. So, Kate, maybe, and this was one of Bill's suggestions, maybe you ought to take that $5 million that the legislature just allocated in the emergency board for climate change inaction, which is highly questionable as to whether you have the constitutional authority to do it. Kate, maybe you ought to do this. You ought to take that $5 million and you ought to put it into coronavirus. Now, there's some other things going on with this. One of them is the story, and this was, as I was out killing mice in the field, I heard Kate say this. It was in response to a question by a reporter. And here's what it was. We don't have as many beds as the rest of the country. And you know what the medical officer said? And it's the biggest bunch of crock. I about fell on my tussy laughing. He said, it's because we have such a great healthcare system in Oregon because we've done such a great job keeping people healthy with all of our social welfare programs. You got it. Kidding. There's more, and we'll get into all of it, plus your phone calls when we come back. You're listening to Political Coffee. Is it a conspiracy?
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Or you can send me an email to jeff@1220.am. Would love to get your perspective on all of this. And are there going to be some benefits out of all of this? The shutdown and the damage it's going to do to our economy. Right here in Oregon, but certainly across the country. Are there some ancillary benefits to this? And we know what the negatives are, but are there going to be benefits? It's 23 minutes past the top of the hour. In a moment, we're going to chat with Ron. I want to thank Diamond Royalty Rides, a great local company that offers these wonderful excursions in a limousine. And it really is something special. If you haven't done it, you really ought to consider it, especially if you've been a little freaked out over all of the stuff going on here in coronavirus. Just settle down, folks. This will pass. But I'm, in all seriousness, every one of our advertisers on this radio station and on this show are small businesses. Friends, every one of them need you to patronize them. I'm quite serious now. If you're one of your local restaurants is shutting down, but they can offer takeout, then go get takeout from them. With Diamond Royalty Rides, go to their website, diamondroyaltyrides.com. You can see how affordable it is and all the great things that can happen in a limousine ride. Now, you don't have to go to a restaurant, but you know you can go spend the afternoon driving around. See, you know, Oregon is beautiful. Go to the coast. Diamond Royalty Rides. Check them out, folks. Patronize out, especially right now. Patronize all of our advertisers if you can. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Ron. Ron, good morning. What do you think this morning, brother?
Hey, brother, I'm between Seaside and Banks, but nevertheless, I think it's terrible in some cases, my friend. I mean, I think back when I was a five-year-old kid when they had the Hong Kong flu going on, we had over 300, we had almost 1.4 to 10 million people at one time that had the flu. My uncle had it for 6 weeks. And the thing is this, so far, just based on the numbers, we only got 94 people out of 4,000 people out of the country to have the situation, or a little more than maybe one out of 100. But nevertheless, in my case, or one out of 400, I'll make that right. But what I see, my brother, is that the Democrats, that the far-left retro-Bolsheviks, like Gat Newsom, I mean, they're doing some things right, but when you're shutting down bars and everything else, and if this thing goes on for more than 2 weeks, people are going to get cabin fever. Is it going to be an economic situation and a benefit at the end? The short term, with everybody shopping, running the stores by, it might keep the GDP from falling below 1%. But on realistics, no. The fact is this. I feel like this, our loving governor, Mr. And all of them, including all the way back to the East Coast, Mr. Godfather himself, Cuomo, I think that personally that they're going to utilize it to empower and make it seem like that they're doing us a business so they can push their policies even further. And I can see this governor calling a special session. She just probably pushed through her last part of icing on the cake. Watch what people have offered for free security and because they're going to snatch up your liberty. That's all I got to say, brother.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you saying that because this is one of the things that I think we have to be careful with. Ron, we'll let you go. Be safe out there today.
Thank you.
It's one of the things we have to be careful with here. Is that how much of our liberty are we willing to give up? And also, you know, Mark Levin talked about this yesterday afternoon, and he's right on the money. How much are we willing to accept? And where's the line? Where's the line for you personally? Look, I'm not going to live my life in fear. In fact, I'm thinking about standing on a street corner with a sign. I'm serious. That says, no fear. Live your life. Something like that. Just to send a message. I'm not going to live my life in fear. Now, at the same time, I'm going to be careful because I don't want to infect other people around me. My dad is going to be 85 here pretty soon. He's having some very serious health issues. His immune system is not doing well. And I don't want to impact it. I don't want to bring him as a carrier of this thing. It may not be impacting me at all. But I may carry it. Okay, I get that. Ron said something interesting. And again, I put this out there. What are some of the benefits of the policies that are going to be put in place here to deal with coronavirus and its impact. Well, if one of them is that you're going to be going stir crazy if this goes on for too much longer. Well, it is a story that's out there today on Oregon Watchdog. And it's really simple. Look, the weather's getting better. Go out and walk or ride your bike. Your kids are home from school. Maybe you're home from school. Get out there and go enjoy nature. You don't have to worry. I mean, you're walking out. Is this stuff isn't floating through the air and you're picking it up, you know, when you're running past somebody or bicycling past somebody. At any rate, friends, there are some positives, and that could be exercise. And frankly, it could be reconnecting with your kids, could be reconnecting with other family members. Again, just do the basics, the things you should do, right? And it won't be that big a deal in your life. It won't be. Social distancing, you know, that's a new term in our lives. Well, it's going to impact everything today, including elections. Today, of course, there are a number of primaries. Ohio somehow managed to actually get out of holding theirs today. But there's an interesting, John Solomon has a tweet that Trump beats both Biden and Sanders in Florida, according to a new poll. Now, polls, of course, are intensely inaccurate, but if a lot of them are moving in a particular direction, you can take that as, yeah, probably going to be something that happens. We're at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about what Kate Brown's executive order means and how you might deal with it and how other people are dealing with it. It is a coronavirus conspiracy Tuesday, folks. Is there a real conspiracy? Is this coronavirus a bioweapon engineered in a lab which makes it so bad? Is it real? All of that will come to your phone. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, my friends. Great to have you with us. 24 minutes till the top of the hour. Politics with your coffee. It's important. Hey, the stock market just opened up. It opened up about 500 points up, and then it is backing off a little bit right now. You sort of expect that. After yesterday's massive sell-off, it's kind of interesting to see, you know, how the politicians are playing all of this at the national level. But more importantly, how it's going to impact us right here. Now, whether this is a conspiracy or not, we still have to deal with it, right? Now, how far is too far with what Kate Brown is saying? So her limits, by the way, will take effect today by executive order. She's supposedly going to issue that today. And if you don't comply, let's say you're a restaurant. Did you see, by the way, Kid Rock's restaurant in, Detroit, I think, is not closing? It's either Detroit or Chicago. Anyway, he's not closing. He's defying it. In Oregon, if you're going to defy Kate Brown, it's only going to be a misdemeanor. Oh, goody. So what's going to be the impact of this? Are there going to be some good things out of it? Now, we'll go to the phones in a moment. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Or send me an email to jeff@1220.am. I got a great email from Corby. He says, good morning, Jeff. Well, I woke up this morning and I got dressed, proudly but sadly put on my tinfoil hat. Is this the beginnings of martial law, I thought? I thought, no way. People said that would never happen in America. And he spelled America with a K. Wake up, people. I am hopeful. I love this country. If we can't admit something is broke, we'll never fix it. God bless us all. Thanks for all you do. You're right on. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Corby. And he's right on. See, I woke up this morning and I put on my tinfoil hat because I got this email from a longtime military intelligence officer, a career in the Green Berets. And he sent me this email with this letter written by this supposed expert in bioweapons to the federal government, to the White House, saying this is a deep state attack by the deep state against Donald Trump. Didn't come from China. And he lists, by the way, some of the Chinese people who've been arrested and Americans working with them. Some of it we've seen in the news, trying to smuggle viruses in to China. Did you get that, folks? It's in this letter. So I put on my tinfoil hat today, folks. And everybody on the phones, hang on. I'll get to you in just a second here because I want to make this point. Who does this really benefit? I want you to just stop and think for a moment. Who does this really hurt? What if it wasn't a deep state conspiracy against Donald Trump after all? I mean, it's obvious there has been plenty of that. But what if it was really meant to strengthen Donald Trump's hands in negotiating against the Chinese? You see, their economy has taken at least a 20% hit since this thing hit them in December. 20%, folks, and probably going worse. Doesn't that strengthen their hand, or strengthen Donald Trump's hand, rather, in negotiating with them? Is this really hurting Donald Trump? Or is it an opportunity for him to show himself strong as a leader, as he appears to be doing, as polling is beginning to show? Yeah, there's a hit to the economy, but does it help him win re-election? If this is a conspiracy, is he a part of it? Does this benefit Big Pharma as they are rushing to develop antidotes? This is all very interesting, isn't it? It's Conspiracy Tuesday, folks. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. I'm sort of laughing about this because it seems improbable, but obviously this happened somehow. Who's benefiting? Who's being hurt? I want to remind you, if you're looking for a great contractor, check out Eric Azor at RighteousRenovations.com. Check out his website, RighteousRenovations.com. Lots of satisfied customers and testimonials there. You can have confidence if you're going to do business with a contractor. You ought to consider Eric Azor, RighteousRenovations.com, because other people have been very satisfied with his work. Check it out, RighteousRenovations.com. Okay, to the phones. To Art. We'll start with him. Art, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jack.
Yes, Jeff.
We definitely need to get all the facts and push fiction away. We are in the midst of making America great again. Not relying on cheap labor in other countries, et cetera, because you end up in the situation that we're in. I see the benefit being, hey, you guys, here we've had all these tariffs and all this thing, which have destroyed our economy and all that good stuff. And now we should be relying on America, American know-how, et cetera, et cetera. But one thing I wanted to mention, Jeff, we need to be engaged with our federal government in making sure that they pass appropriate legislation to deal with this. Now, the word is this House bill is going to make things better and possibly could make worse. And so we got to make sure that our small businesses are supported. We're obviously going to lose some small businesses, but our president knows that the backbone of this great country of ours is small businesses, and we need to support them in, unfortunately, this time of crisis.
Art, I couldn't agree with you more, and I think that is a central theme that has to emerge, and very quickly. Art, thanks, brother. I appreciate it. I mean,
gotta be engaged.
Look, Art's a business. Thanks, Art. Art is a business guy. He has vending machines around Salem, including in a bunch of state buildings. He's a small business guy. Before I go to Rich in a moment, I got a text from a friend last night who owns a gym. He listens to this show, so I'm not going to say where or what his name is. But he's deeply concerned, and he should be. They're talking about closing gyms, folks. Now, he has a small gym. He can't afford to have his gym get closed down. He can't. It's a small gym. It probably doesn't have more than 10 people at a time there. It shouldn't be shut down. It's crazy. But for guys like Art, I mean, these are really, truly small business. Art's a two-man shop. Well, husband and wife. It's a small business. My friend with the gym is a one-man shop. They are going to need help, and they're going to need it fast. Now, the sad thing about this House bill is this House bill that was passed the other day had to have a 90-page correction bill that they're going to pass today, or maybe did last night. I don't know. 90 pages to correct the first 200-page bill that they were given 10 minutes before they had to vote on it, folks. That's typical Nancy Pelosi, right? Get a vote on it first to figure out what's in it. Hopefully cooler heads are going to prevail in the Senate over the next few days, but they have to move quickly, and they have to make this stuff available to real small businesses that are going to be hurt by this. To the phones, to Rich. Rich, what do you say this morning? Good morning.
Morning. Well, start with is that one of the advantages is you get to spend more time with your kids.
Yep.
Two, another advantage is that they're even selling guns to Democrats. Maybe that's a plus. And because of that, they're starting to realize that maybe gun control is not such a good thing. The other thing,
neither is plastic bag bans, because apparently those bags, reusable bags that you take into the grocery store, Rich, apparently they carry the virus.
I was just getting ready to say that. The cloth bags especially, because I've seen older people carrying their dogs or cats in it, and the next thing you know, they come into the store with them. The other advantage is that it's going to show just how much Kate Brown cares about the people as she continues with her reign of terror rather than help the people.
You're right about that, friend. It's going to be interesting to see how Kate Brown comes up for us. Thanks, Rich.
Bye.
648. What do you think? 503-589-1220 is the car for your teams to talk. We'll be back in a moment. No promises, no delay. Love is a fantasy.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 10 minutes till the top of the hour, friends. Last segment for today, 503-589-1220. What do you think? Is this a conspiracy? Obviously, if in fact, and there is some talk about this. I've heard it. It might have even been a question at the ask of one of the experts on the coronavirus task force in that news conference yesterday. It seemed to be, I thought I heard a question by somebody that this contains the HIV, coronavirus contains the HIV gene. Well, if that's true, how did that happen? If it's bioengineered in a lab, who released it? Who benefits? Who gets hurt? Again, today is tinfoil hat conspiracy Tuesday. Or is it? Take this email I got from Jim. It said, thanks for putting my question out there. Your caller put it in terms that made me dig deeper into the urban versus rural idea. That was my friend Jake yesterday. He goes on, he says, it's the collectivist versus the individualist, the socially dependent versus the independent free thinker. Panic versus pragmatic, knee-jerk versus rational. But it just happened that that Oregon's urban communities are predominantly Democratic and rural Oregon is more Republican. I think that is so true because it is a mentality, isn't it? How do you deal with anything where you have a dramatic event that impacts your life, impacts the country? You see, people in the rural areas, and I can tell you as a fifth-generation Oregon farmer who lives in the country, I can tell you that we are much more self-dependent. We rely on ourselves. We rely on our neighbors to help each other. Now, in an urban setting, you don't have as much of that kind of an independent spirit, and you certainly don't have that much of a way of looking at life in terms of how you put your life into practice. Now, I greatly admire people who live in neighborhoods and cities, who have neighborhood watch programs, who look out for the neighbors, because that's how it ought to be. That's the right thing to do. But generally speaking, people who live in cities think in a collectivist mindset. That's why they vote Democrat. That's why they vote regressive totalitarian Marxist. And this is all over the country, folks. Now, yesterday on Twitter, I saw a tweet, and I'll just paraphrase it, from a great young farmer who's very politically active down here in my area. And it was basically, life goes on for us. We're still out producing all the food that you're eating, that you're getting delivered by the food delivery services. We are still showing up at work. That's those of us in agriculture. The guys cutting the trees at Timber Unity that build your home, because they're still building, folks. The ranchers that grow the cattle and the sheep that you eat. They're still out there working. We're not going to be fearful. We're not going to be afraid. It doesn't matter how this thing happened. It happened. Is it a conspiracy? If these markers of SARS and HIV are actually in coronavirus, this COVID-19, if that's true, how'd that happen? Who did it? Who does it benefit? Well, obviously, Big Pharma is going to come away really good out of all of this. Because if you think about it, Bernie Sanders, in his collectivist mindset, right? His idea of nationalizing these things, it just got skewered by what Trump has done in response to this, and that's this public-private partnership. He's talking about it constantly. You see, Trump knows how to solve problems, folks. He's been doing it all his life. He knows how to negotiate with unions that want to strike against him. Steelworkers unions that are going to slow down one of his hotel projects. He's done all of this. He knows how to work with politicians, corrupt politicians. He knows how to schmooze. He's going to lead. He's going to continue to lead. Donald Trump, here's my prediction to you folks. Donald Trump is not going to let this issue get the better of him. Whether he was a part of it or not, I can't imagine that he would. But I will tell you this, that it is hurting China. Donald Trump's been warning us about China for, what, 20 years? You go back and read his writings. He knows who he's dealing with. One of the great benefits of what's going to come out of this is personal benefits for us as individuals here in America in terms of learning to spend time together, yes, as families, reconnecting with nature. And frankly, remaking the supply chain. And that's going to hurt China. It's good for America. It's crazy that 90% of the base antibiotic drugs that you and I take to stay healthy comes from China. That's crazy. That's got to change. That's a national security issue. Making America great again means Donald Trump against the globalists. If the globalists in the deep state really, like this author of this letter to the White House says, this expert in bioweapons says, this is a deep state conspiracy against him, then it's failing. It's failing badly. And it's helping Trump. And it's hurting the Chinese. But it's also helping America in the long run. It's hurting the globalists. Because supply chains will be changed, folks. And that's a good thing for this American country. Back to Jim's email to me as we finish the show. It says, back to that executive order thing. He said, I heard an ugly rumor that Kate shut down the state police background check processing for firearms. So I Googled it. Wasn't able to verify it. I'm hearing gun sales are up, so it doesn't seem likely. If the rumor is true, then I expect lawsuits are on the way. Carry on. Indeed, carry on. Now, I don't think the background check system's been shut down, certainly not on the FBI level. Folks, it's all going to be fine. The market has been up and down. It's whipsawing a little bit here today. It's down about 87. I mean, who knows? There'll be another briefing today. Kate's executive order comes out today. And we're going to go on. Good things are going to come out of all of this. You wait. And not just politically, folks. Good things for America. Good things for our way of life. Good things for liberty and the preservation of it. In spite of the regressive totalitarian Marxist thinking. And ideas that Kate Brown might try to bring forward, because there's a limit. There's a limit to her power under the Constitution. And at some point, because she's Kate Brown, she'll push it too far. She'll end up in court on a whole host of things. Thanks for joining me today, friends. I deeply appreciate each and every one of you. Be blessed out there. See you tomorrow. Make it a great day.